Hello, everybody, and welcome to the CCEN, the Climate Change Education Network podcast series. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Georgia McKinnon. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Peter. Thanks so much for having me today. It's really great to sit down and have this chat with you.
Well, thank you very much for making time for us today. Now, Georgia, you are a member, a key member, in fact, of the Climate Change Education Network. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and a little bit about why you think being part of the CCEN is a worthwhile thing to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, a key member is a terrific thing to think of myself as. And certainly, I wonder if the work we do, or I know that the work we do is key to lots of what we're doing. So for me, CCEN, I guess I came to it with a bit of a personal agenda. Being a passionate environmental educator from, you know, quite a long time ago, I spent my high school years being really into the environment, and it wasn't actually something I considered I could make a career out of, and yet here I am all these years later. Hopefully influencing other areas. But, you know, my great love of bushwalking and Australian animals and different biomes in Australia led me to really love environmental education. And then that, of course, made me want to share that love as well. So I suppose environmental education has changed over the years. We've gone from you know, things like simple bushwalking into much more complex matters like climate change. And that's where we are today in a really a different landscape, a landscape which, you know, was one of enjoying something and asking other people to learn and advocate and conserve. Into a space of climate change and climate crisis, where the urgency and the complexities lead us to want to come together. And a group like CCEN means that my personal need, if you like, to kind of muddle out this really complex stuff is met with my professional identity as part of CCEN.
Excellent, Georgia. Thanks. That really positions well how CCEN kind of provided a bit of an avenue for you to work with colleagues. And I'm really pleased to be one of those colleagues. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do or what we do in CCEN?
Yeah, and I'm glad you said we, because being with a group of colleagues, of which we are mostly academics, but I know that some of the work we do reaches school teachers and other members of our community. So the work that I like to do as a group is thinking about how complex climate change is and climate change education is, and working with colleagues who are very much solution focused, being with a group of people who have an understanding that, firstly, Pete, I suppose the climate change space has changed so much, even in the last 5 years. We've moved away from this quibbling about climate change and sort of the backdoor bickering about whether or not it's happening. The climate deniers are largely ignored, which is a wonderful place to be. So if we ignore the people who are just going to bring us down, then we get to focus with the people who are looking for solutions. And there are solutions. There are significant inroads being made into social change, scientific change, and education change. So working with people who are solutions focused and working towards a brighter future is what I really enjoy about working with colleagues. So we come together, we chat, we talk about things that are of interest to us, And then we think about how it is we can broaden those interests and include other people in society, whether they be teachers or community members, community leaders, working with all sorts of different people in how climate change can be navigated.
That's excellent, Georgia. Can you talk us through some of the activities you've actually been involved with as part of the CCEN network?
Yeah, so I really enjoy the work I do with CCEN and teachers. The VCE, so the Victorian Certificate of Education, Environmental Science teachers, they're a key group of people that assist in educating young adults. One of their topics is climate change. We've worked with those teachers thinking about resources that students or that they can use with their students in the classroom, but also those resources can be used by their students, because of course a lot of the information that comes back into families and trickles into communities comes from schools. So highlighting resources that students can navigate on their own and potentially share into families and further into communities is an important reaching tool, if you like. So the VCE, the VCE Enviro Science teachers I've enjoyed the work we've done with them. We've done two workshops with them. The first one was looking at resources, and then the second workshop was a response, if you like, to what they were what they needed a bit more help with.
If I can just interrupt, sorry, that two workshop series is something that we established as being quite an important part of the process, you know, so that we met the teachers, found out what they were interested in, and then had an opportunity to come back and provide some more. Any thoughts to add on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's that model, which I haven't seen with other professional development, is really important, and the feedback that we have received on that, I think it's a model that we should pursue and potentially others should think about. All too often you come to professional development and you get great information. Professional development is usually very, very good. But sometimes it's not entirely tailored to what you need, and that's the limitations of talking to 30 and 40 individual people in individual schools. You can't possibly tailor what you need. So teachers often walk away thinking, okay, well, I got that, but I'm sort of a little bit on my own with this. So having that approach where we get to follow up and say, look, here's some information. How did that sit with you? And how can we assist in fitting other spaces? We are critically aware of the individualized nature of schooling and of students, and having a sort of not a one size fits all, but one size fits most approach to professional development means that teachers need to follow up for themselves. And sometimes that's not practical because schools have lots of limitations. There's time constraints, there's financial constraints. You can't get released all the time to pursue something that may or may not interest you. So if teachers are released first up for two sessions, so we say, in the first instance, this is a two-session professional development, and the second opportunity is for them to follow up and tailor the response to what they need. It's a very powerful model.
That's great, Georgia. And you talk about today the work that we've done specifically with the VCE sort of year 11 and 12 environmental science teachers, of which there is quite a strong network. But in fact, we've also done similar kinds of works using this very same model on a more regional or even a little localized focus. Can you talk about that a bit, please?
Yeah, so that was with the Gippsland Environment Group. Sorry, Peter, what was their complete title?
The Regional Centre for Expertise, yes.
Thank you. I switched my mind for just a minute. That was again, another very powerful model. So that was an F to 10, so foundation. But I think we even had some early childhood teachers in that group as well. So again, working in a very localized way into the Gippsland region, which meant that, of course, we could think about our colleagues in the CCEN and how it is their expertise can be lended to professional development. Because, of course, Gippsland has very has unique barriers and nuances, if you like, particularly in terms of climate change, because, of course, their large industry employers are energy companies. And I think it would be naive of us to suggest that we could walk in to a community with that at their forefront and say, oh, look, you know, we're doing away with fossil fuels, you know, jump on board. That would be more than naive. That would be disrespectful. We know that these types of changes bring anxiety to families. It potentially brings instability, not knowing what's coming in the future, and bringing our understanding of that into not more than climate change education. We really had to think about transitional education. So not this holus bolus approach, but we knew that Gippsland community were, you know, excuse the pun, but they're at the coalface. You know, finishing up with fossil fuels means something something different to those communities than it does to, say, you know, people in Western Victoria or any other parts of Victoria. So that transitional type education was what we focused on there, what it would mean for fossil fuel or that extraction industry, what it would mean when they moved into more renewable fuels.
Thanks, Georgia. And so those workshops we organised specifically for either localised teachers or a focus group of teachers, but we've also presented at conferences. Can you talk about that experience? Because it's subtly different, I think.
Absolutely. So the just notably recently, we presented with the Science Teachers Association of Victoria at their Biology and Environmental Science Conference. Which was a very exciting conference to be part of. So environmental science has not been part of that suite, that science suite with the Science Teachers Association of Victoria for quite some time. Lots of different reasons, but to be back in that space, presenting to teachers who felt included in a community was very important. So we presented there looking at climate change education specifically. We've also presented just at the more generalised Science Teachers Association of Victoria conferences, specifically about climate change, but with slightly different focus. So we presented there around this two-tiered or this two workshop model of professional development. We also use the platform as a way to promote CCEN as a place where teachers or people who are interested in educating others could contact us, could speak with us, could explore resources and provide, you know, an open space of support, because sometimes it does feel like you're a little bit out there, a little bit vulnerable to all sorts of people's opinions. And of course, we're very focused on our own opinions.
Well, thanks, Georgia. That's great. And speaking of your own opinion, what do you think the key message is for the future of climate change education?
The key message, well, so first, okay, so Peter, I want to just sort of put in my own research here about my own PhD. So I'm looking at climate change education and students' ethical considerations. So not ethics as in morality, but ethics as a process of inquiry and their actions on their own personal actions with climate change as a focus. And we look at that, we have a look at that through film. What I've come to understand from my research is I knew the situation was complex. I knew it was complex for adults. I knew it was even more complex for young people. But I didn't fully appreciate how very much more complex even than I initially thought. So, yikes. There's lots and lots of work to do. I think the key to CCEN is its ability to function as a core and just in your mind's eye, think with me. So if we've got this core, which we can look at as, think about it as like a circle. And the circle is made up of lots of different people with different backgrounds, different aptitudes, different focuses, or foci, I don't know, whatever. I've got a bit sciencey there. What it gives is to have this core group of people who are all anchored through this same idea. If we are functioning as a core in the middle, as a circle, that those different focuses, those different ideas give people a chance to plug in all sorts of different ways. So you can come at this very complex idea from lots of different ways. Tim Morton, and I've used his work in my PhD to talk about hyperobjects. So the hyperobject is the object that's so big you can't see it. So if you think about, planet Earth is a hyperobject. While we can think about what the planet looks like in space because we've seen pictures from, various satellites and whatever, but while we're standing on it, we can't see the Earth for what it is. And that's really where we are with climate change. We can't see it for what it is because, of course, we're part of it. So thinking about coming at climate change or using the supports that potentially are available through CCEN means that this huge, unwielding, unseeing, unconquerable problem can be conquered if we just plug in at lots of different spaces. So I think the key to CCEN is maintaining diversity of the group by having academics of science, of social science, of drama, of, all sorts of different disciplines, as well as individual networks from those people so that we've all got our patch, if you like. I can't think of a better word, but if we're all looking after our patch, we can radiate out from that core, but being that very solid place that has a variety of gifts, I think that's the value in CCEN.
And of course, Georgia, from my experience anyway, that solid core is actually very nurturing. Do you have thoughts about that?
I do. As a member of CCEN, I find the nurture, and it is nurturing. It sounds a bit naff, but it is nurturing because sometimes, we can't help but bring our personalness to the group. I want to say personality and personal attributes and all this stuff that we bring with us. And I was reflecting only very recently over the weekend, I watched the Netflix film Don't Look Up. And I thought, yikers. And I was really upset, actually. I was really upset because I thought we are sort of screaming into a camera here and nobody seems to be listening. And then I started thinking, what if I won $100 million? Like, let's win $100 million. What could I do? And then I started thinking, oh, but Elon Musk probably has $100 million and he's not doing it. And then I got all panicky and then I got all morose. And then I got all, you know, I had to kind of pep myself up. But I can take all of that stuff with me to CCEN, and I can talk with my colleagues, and I can say to them, look, you know, I really feel a little bit despondent here. I want to do something. And I've got this group of colleagues who are like, yeah, let's do that. So maybe we don't do it. You know, maybe we just talk about doing it. But that seems to be enough for now. Because of course you set the scene and you plant the seed and then you nurture it and then it grows. So being able to bring the mess to a group of people who are kind of okay with being messy is really, really important. And we almost sort of caught the mess a little bit. But we're okay with that. We're okay with sort of the highs and the lows of what this thing means, because, you know, there's going to be more of them. There's going to be lots of highs and there's going to be lots of lows. It's not going to play out the way any of us think, no matter what it is we think, the way it is we think it's going to play out. It's just not going to happen like that because, well, it's just not. So there.
Well, that's great, Georgia. Thank you. And I love that idea of the mess and how we're kind of all in it together. And thank you for today. Thank you for your time and energy of unpacking your thoughts about climate change, education, and of course, CCEN. And a valued member, and we look forward to lots more opportunity to trouble the mess. Thank you, Georgia.
Thanks, Peter. It's a real delight to be able to talk with everyone.
Thank you.